Department werden die Gemeinde auch vor der BBC und IT, damit sie dann nicht mehr zu dir haben. But then in the hand, and then she said, no, on Tuesday, I'm making myself available to be asked whatever I ask from naturalization, because on Friday I won't be available. And then I've agreed with her that we take this place this morning, so that then she speaks to us and we ask her questions. And then the agenda has been adjusted to say that the first thought, and then that you actually do those questions that you can see. And then we have not yet received the position of the finance minister in relation to the Friday on the Saturday BBC, and as and when then communicate to members and make a determination. I think that's what is happening, that needs us now to be like this, because I could not agree with the minister that if it's not available on Friday and then she says no, the other week is it looks like there's a feeling that the agent is somewhere to receive, and then now it's agreed they are available now to today, and I actually appreciate the spirit to actually and I think that is the main reason why I'm here, and then why the item is here. Otherwise, the program three manager should be here. Honorable members, I think the delegations that we have in front of us from the Department of Home Affairs, and then it has the minister herself, the Department of Season, then the for the Department of Home Affairs is also here. I've seen him, he's too tall to come meet him. And then we have got the Royal Pondoana here. And then we have got the Laurent Motiva is here. And then we have got Dr. Siswana is here, I think it's for the first time. And then Oren Ramashia is also here.
Can you
see
this?
Yeah?
Can you just
see
him?
Dr. Swan. Can you stand up and then... thank you very much. And then Uramashia. There's Ramashia. And then... Ramashia is an advocate. Yes. An advocate, I think. But the minister will come to us, I guess. And then from Northwest, we have got the assistant provincial manager, Irene Mandas, but the written suit, Mandas. Okay. Then we have got the director of finance and whatever, then it is at the team. Then from Pumalanga, then you have got Udo Ichiga and the protecting provincial manager. We have got extra today.
And women. Yeah. And women.
Yes. There is Doris Chirani. And then Mashile Chirani. That's almost one of the same sentence. But I'm not saying anything else. When you talk about Chirani, I think about Mashile, the same thing. Then we have got Mr. Pakistani, the Director of Finance and Support. There he is, I think it's the first time. KwaZulu Natal, then we have got Cyril Mwabe, Provincial Manager KwaZulu Natal. At least there's no acting here. Yeah. Thank you very much. Then we have got Mr. Singh, Director of Finance and Support. Okay. Yeah. No. You're going too far. Don't become racist. No. Mr. seen the South African flag. Then we have got Mr. Mugiba, provincial coordinator. There he is. And then we have got Tasha Smith, the deputy director of operations. Then, honorable members, we have got apologies. Yeah, we have got apologies. Dr. Melder, I think I've seen a written apology in the party funding. He wants money for his party. Then we have got Ms. S.J. Nkomo. I think it is only Eddie who knows what's happening. And then we had a late arrival, which that late arrival is an early arrival of Honorable Miss. She's already here. Then these are the people that are here, those that I have not read. And then it is the committee staff. And then the interested parties in Parliament in relation to communication, media, and our supporters in Parliament that are here. They are welcome. And like as it has been indicated of an apology of Mr. Singh on the basis of being sick, I just hope that nobody is going to require a signal. Yes, sir.
We're front Mr. Oscar Mshengo, he's standing in for Mr.
Singh. Oscar Mshengo?
Oscar Mshengo, unfortunately, it was a late.
Where is he? Can he stand on his head? I mean, on his okay, so I can see. What is his position?
He's a deputy director in finance.
So deputy director in finance?
Yeah, he's reporting directly to Mr. Singh, who's our director in finance.
Mshengo, I think the secretary would just adjust the document. Thank you very much, honorable members, and I can't let the last week for not being paid. Okay, it's honorable Gumede and honorable Hussein. You know, this issue that you sometimes get replaced by Walter, it makes me forget your pain. Yes. And, but I wanted to spend less time because we have stolen the time of the provincial report to create space for us to talk to this matter with the minister. And therefore, we must quickly give time to the minister and time to any questions that we may want to give to the minister. The Lamar discussions that we had last week, I think, they a lot of time that we don't get to the right thing. And I think that.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm sorry for this, Honorable Chairperson. But you know that the last time we had our meeting was on the 27th of June this year. And then, we have not yet received our minutes for that meeting, and I've read the PMG report on that meeting, and from the report I do not see any need for the minister to come here because she was not requested in that meeting. And then if she has come here, let us know specifically for what the minister is coming here for. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Hussein. I do plead that either we get into the real things or not. Honorable Hussein?
Yeah, Chair, thank you very much. I agree with you that we must not spend too much of time debating the issue and allow the minister to come stage to address the committee on whatever she intends to do. Chair, the reason why this thing is getting out of hand and out of control is because the decisions we have taken on this matter, with great respect, is not being respected. And that's why it's getting out of hand. Now, I really want to say that I appreciate the fact that you've made the extra effort to request the minister to be here today, that you've tabled it on the agenda. I want to say that we appreciate that. I also want to appreciate the fact that the minister is here. I mean, to get access to this minister is not difficult in comparison to Minister Gigaba. She's here at almost every committee which I've recognized previously for. The issue is not about having the current Minister of Home Affairs here to explain. The issue is about Minister Gigaba coming here. And the reason for that, Chairperson, is that there are questions that only Minister Gigaba can answer, because he was the one who took certain decisions. And that is all that we are asking for. Now, I appreciate that you said earlier on that there is some correspondence or an indication from Gigaba that he was not available. I asked you in the previous meeting whether or not there has been correspondence between yourself and the Secretary of Parliament based on our decision that he be summoned. I never got an answer from you then, last week. I'm going to ask you again the same question, and I really will appreciate if you will give us that answer. And then we can move on. Otherwise, we just keep going on and on over the same thing. We took a decision to summon Minister Gigaba. Was that decision implemented? The second question is, you said earlier that there has been, or you indicated that there has been some correspondence or communication with Minister Gigaba. I want to ask that if you can just elaborate on that. Have you written to him and asked him to come to the committee? And if not, are you intending to do so? And when can we expect Gigaba to come to Home Affairs? If you can please just address those questions, then I think we can move on. Thank you.
Yes. Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I want to correct you. You introduced the department, and not all of the departmental officials know who are the committee members. So I think this is one error that needs to be corrected. And then, Chair, I just want to get into your proposed agenda that is in front of us. Last week, we have fought in front of other provincial managers about the issue to come to the committee. And then we even proposed that we must meet as soon as possible, and there was a proposal on Friday. And then correctly so, the item about Gupta is on the item, which is very correct. But Chair, I don't think you are going to do justice, because if you look at your agenda, this item is only allocated just for 1 hour. And I don't think this is an understanding of the committee. We need full day for our time, 9:30 to 1:00, to deliberate on the issue, because we view this matter as a matter of importance. So today, to take this issue, I don't think we're doing the justice. As much as we are also saying that the minister is available today, not available on Friday, but it does not mean that we must wait another day to deliberate on the matter. Second issue, Chair, that I want to raise. If you want to deliberate on the matter, the first item, I don't think you are doing justice in front of the manager. If you remember very well what happened last week, those managers who were present when we deliberated on this issue, they were very traumatized. And I don't think we must also go through what has happened last week. So I'm appealing, Chair, because even the whip of ANC in this committee is asking specifically, which what is the minister is expected to do on this item? Because there's a confusion. And I don't think that you must proceed the trade unless we're going to be guaranteed that you are not going to bully us, as we always do, about the matter. Because as the committee members, we want to satisfy ourselves when we're dealing this matter of Gupta. So if you allocate only 1 hour on the matter, and we still have three managers to come and present before the portfolio committee, I mean, we won't do justice. And you know very well that at 2 p.m. we have a long agenda and the sitting is taking place. So we'll end up not finishing one of the things that we're supposed to do today. So if you can pronounce on the transition.
Yes, and then we are not doing justice to ourselves. You see? Because the minister is here to speak. And then we are busy taking that time ourselves. And even after the plea, that's the problem that we are creating. And then again, that whatever trauma that happened last week, it is members that traumatize others. And then we decided to traumatize others today as well. And then what else can I do? But we just have to to know ourselves and then actually present ourselves as members of parliament and realize where we are and what we are doing. I actually wanted to proceed with the
issue. You're not answering the question.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The ANC proposal that the minister presents within the allocated time, and this is the minister.
I support the motion, but I also want to put another motion. That you must answer the question that I asked twice now.
Oh, you supported the motion.
I want us to proceed. We all want us to proceed. But
yes.
I want you to please explain.
Thank you.
You've taken a decision. Are you implementing that decision or not? And Chair, just answer those questions and we move on. I don't know why you are being defensive about this thing. We've had a long discussion. This thing is going to go on like this until you give us an answer.
Yes, because I've indicated that we'll communicate on the whether it's for the meeting on Friday, the Honorable Gigaba is available or not available, whatever, and communicate yourself. An application for that particular meeting has been made for that meeting on Friday. Nobody is canceling that meeting on Friday now. It's only that the current minister is not available, it's available today. And therefore we'll communicate to you if the minister is if the Minister of Finance comes, and then we'll still convene and speak. We've communicated to him. But honorable members must know that you can't summon a person when you have never invited the person for any particular meeting. On the 27th, we have never invited the Minister of Finance. We have never.
Yeah.
And therefore, therefore you can't then summon a person when you have not invited. And then that's what happened when we consult. And then, but now is that we have communicated to him in terms of the decision that we taken last week. And then that's why I'm saying that meeting is Friday, and then he will still communicate to us. He has not indicated that today he will be available with the current minister. He has not yet indicated. But I mean, it's when he indicates to us whether he's available or not available for Friday, then we'll engage the committees and we'll communicate correctly. So you will be informed that he's available on Friday, then we go and see. And then if there is any need of a summons, then people will indicate, the committee will indicate, and then on that basis. But we have communicated that it's required on Friday. Can we hold in on that, and then let's see when the day goes and tomorrow. And then we need to be knowing, of course, by tomorrow when it's available on Friday, so that we make the correct plans of commitment.
I want to try and be reasonable with you if you are
reasonable.
But it's not true the minister was not invited. You invited him and the DG. You did follow the day they had to go to the MCOP or what? Sorry. Then we agreed to summon him. The decision was taken by this committee. I even wrote to you two letters. The first was a request which was tabled by the committee, and we agreed on that request. And then the following meeting, we took that decision that he be summoned. We all agreed it's there. And that's the question that I'm asking you. So it's not a question.
We have not summoned the minister.
Yes. So you have not acted on the decision of the committee.
We have invited him.
You have not acted on that decision. That's all I want to know.
Your motion, of course, has been supported by the same. I'm sure you remember.
Okay, you want to proceed?
Yes.
Okay, no. I want us to proceed. But I want to indicate that what the Honorable was saying is we are disputing. But because we are disputing, we dispute, let us wait for minutes. And then when minutes are there and then they are adopted, we adopt the position of the moment. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Members,
Chair,
I think we need to...
Chair, can I request that when those minutes are here, that we must equally get the recording of that meeting? Because the minutes may not reflect exactly what was said. So I'm asking respectfully that we get the recording of that meeting as well. And that's available.
No, fine. Honourable members, we need to start. Let me just indicate as well is that the meeting of the next meeting of 29, the Tuesday. I think we've received communication from the House Chair that there is the Women's Conference. Yeah, I think there is something like the Women's Conference on that day. Yes, and then our meeting can continue on that day of the 29th. Then we'll reschedule that particular. We're supposed to receive the last three provinces, I think, on that day. And then another indication is that I think members should have received a document that talks to the pronunciation of citizenship of the Gupta members from India. And then again, we should have received the list of those people that received any naturalization. I think there's been tabled in Parliament about 2 weeks, if not 3 from that, in the ATC. And also, of course, is that that list of those people that have received any naturalization, it has been audited by the Auditor General on the request of somebody else that I can't say. But that audit has been done on that list. I think that they should have received a copy. Has it been given out? Yeah, but it can't be the AG that requests to audit something. There is something where somebody has to come back the AG to audit. But it doesn't matter. There's been audited and then the audit report then. I think it should have been communicated to yourself. If you don't have it in your hand, then it will be arriving in your hand at any time. Honorable Minister, here we are. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable members, good morning.
But just before you start, I think I've just forgotten one thing. The minister, I think, also has written a letter asking to be released a little bit earlier. She's not going to be with us when we are with the provincial manager. And thank you. So that is apology. She wanted to go at 10:50, but let's hope that we'll complete our exercise in that decision. There is an all cabinet committee meeting that's happening. Thank you. Proceed.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. Honourable members, I think for the record, it is important to clarify a few things. Really, this investigation, the instruction came from Mr. Sori. And so the request for committees to look at this. So all of us as members of Parliament is very, very important for us to comply. And also to make sure that we use this platform to account not only amongst ourselves, but also to the public in general, so that there's a common understanding of what transpired. But of course, one has to be very specific. So in my case, as you all know, I'm new to the Republic. There's a point I want to flag, which might have created confusion, that there's this tradition in government that if you have been an executive authority and you have been deployed somewhere else, whoever steps in will inherit and take responsibility for, that's a standard thing in government. And I must say, without being defensive for the colleague, I'm sure this is going to create a precedent, because normally then the minister will go in, will account, will explain based on what's documented. So that might also have created the confusion a bit. Coming back to this issue, of course, I only say I was baptized with fire. I'm sure Mr. Apleni would have taken through the relevant legislation that informed the decision. And I want to start off by referring to a famous letter written by the official who has initiated a no to early immunization. And when I look at what the official did, I felt in his, it was correct. He articulated the reason, and all others signed. That's part of the procedure, that a committee will be established and people will make a decision based on the facts that they are privy to. And in this, as I'm sure you've all seen the letter of the 22nd of January 2015, because that's where the whole thing started, where a family applied for naturalization. And of course the officials did look at relevant sections of the Act, which stipulate that the applicant is admitted for permanent and must be ordinary resident, you know, the whole criteria of who qualifies for naturalization. And then you put it within, you said, however, you and your family qualified to reapply on 23 December 2017, provided you do not exceed 90 days outside South Africa for every year in the 5 years preceding your new application and comply with requirements as prescribed in the Citizenship Act, Act number 17 of 2010, as amended. So the official signed on behalf of the Director General. And honorable members, within the same act, there is a subsection B which allows for people to appeal to the minister. And I want to assure you that it happens on a daily basis. Some people will send an SMS, some they send a WhatsApp, some they email. You get these appeals on a daily basis. So in this instance then, they wrote an appeal to the minister, as you have heard. And the relevant section allows the minister to take into consideration exceptional circumstances and apply his mind to that and make his opinion. Well, I need to clarify one thing. Like any judgment, I won't be able to talk to how we put everything together at that time. He made a judgment call, and then he must have questioned the department, and they look at all other factors and they vote back and they recommended that he approve based on their appeal. But on what side, what I saw from what is written in the document is that the issue of this family being invested in this country dominated the correspondence. There is nothing much about them except the issue of investment. And you remember, honorable members, that we are in this era where we even give special dispensations to people who want to invest in the country. Some will have 10-year visa permits, they'll be in and out of the country, given the importance of strengthening the economy of the country. So in their case, they recommended how they are participating in government programs like the feeding scheme, the employment, and so those are some of the things that they put forward. But they are written under the letterhead of open. So in my reaction when I saw this, I know some honorable members have been wanting to know why did I say if I was in the same position, I would have done the same. Really the issue of investment and investing in the country was a major attraction and remains a major attraction if people are asking to be exempted for regular applications for extension of visa permits and so on. So of course there are procedures which the administration has to follow once that once the minister says yes. Administratively, they then have to send a note verbal through the Department of International Relations to the country of origin, informing them of the application. And if you look at the documents, even the approval was conditional on condition they renounced the citizenship of their country of origin, which is India. The documents which I saw is that other members did renounce their citizenship, and so that was the process. But there's also another condition attached to this, that at the opening of Parliament, again, the department has to table a report, inform both houses about the circumstances of people and so on, and the date in which they were given this citizenship. And in our, with regard to the matter that we are looking at, I think there was a report which was published on the 11th of August, which explained, because that's important to guide parliamentarians informed of the decision. And in the civil letter, it gives the list of names of persons granted training and graduation applications for 2014-2016 in terms of Section 59B of the South African Citizenship Act of 1995. Subsection B specifically applies to those people who appeal to the minister to look at special circumstances. And so some of the conditions have been met in that regard, especially with regard to this. And I'm not sure about, I understand the Auditor General has also confirmed that they looked most probably at the enabling legislation and the procedures, whether were followed in dealing with this matter. Basically, my version, Honorable Chair, is really limited to the Immigration Act of 2002 and the Citizenship Act of 2010. When you look at those sections, you find that whatever was done within the parameters of the law. And whether these people were really investors in this country, I would say yes, they've invested hugely in quite a number of businesses. I didn't see whether there was a verification in terms of the verification in terms of the projects that they were doing in the community. But I didn't see also anything in the Act which requires that you literally go and verify whether people are in a bidding scheme, are building clinics. Those are things that people would write. They would say, I'm working on HIV and AIDS, I support these NGOs and so on. And so basically that's my understanding of the matter. And I will continue to put my eye on it. If there are questions, I will work with the department and ensure that we answer all pertinent questions to relevant matters. But in terms of the legislation, I haven't picked up anything, and I haven't been advised otherwise. Even I'm continue looking at it till such time that the committee closes this file. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. I hope that you relied on my introduction of your advisor. But it would have been better if you... Yes.
Yeah, no, apologies, Honorable Members. As I introduced my advisors last week, I thought it would be a good thing that, you know, the people who will be influencing my thinking besides the officials in the department. Advocate Rems Ramashia should be known to most of you, whether by name or not. And he has served in government as a director general and has served in quite a number of other structures in this country as a leader. And so he's well known and respected. And I hope he will help us a lot, Honorable Members, in terms of dealing with the legal cases in the department so that we start on a clean slate and not old cases hanging over us. And Dr. Siswana also has served in government. He will be known to some of you. He worked, I think, in the presidency with Deputy President Khalima Mutante and joined the security cluster after that. So he's back in the system now in my office. Again, I felt it's important to have a person with that background who will pay particular attention. I'm happy the provincial managers are here. Hopefully you will have time to present, because I really want him to move around. The questions we get on a daily basis are unpleasant. In terms of the service delivered. So I said to him, I don't want to see him in the office, and including our borders as well, offices and borders, so that hopefully we reduce the number of SMSs and WhatsApp we get dissatisfaction about what's going on. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Can we have an opportunity then now, if there are any questions of clarity or questions to be explained? Honorable Sope, followed by Tambuza, followed by Hussein, followed by Pekana, then Rafiki. No, don't worry about it then. It's my problem, not your problem.
Okay, so that's why he is sitting far away from you today.
Congratulations for deciding that way.
Okay, thank you very much. Minister, if you will agree with me, I think your explanation reflects the depth of the matter. We were expecting that you'll come in detail justifying what the former minister of this department have done. So surely I think we must get more details from you, because we are a new minister of the department. And if you remember very well, the issue of Gupta's just is not it's just the issue of Gupta's in South Africa is a very important matter. And everyone is talking about this mess. So therefore, coming in front of the committee and tell us that the only reason that you can think of that you agreed that why the former minister granted them is because is the thing of the investment. Surely, Minister, we've been following what is happening in the country regarding the hotels. Those people are not investors. Those people are criminals. I don't want to say that you don't follow politics of South Africa that is happening in South Africa. It has been on news daily to prove that these people from India are not business people. When the department came before the committee and do the presentation, they only mentioned the OK Bay as one of the documents that were used when they appealed. And they claim that they have employed more than 7,000 people. If I remember very well, it's just because today we are just ambushed by this man. But we remember very well that they have come with that document that talks about OK Pay. If I can also use that document that justifies the former Minister of Home Affairs to grant them the alien authorization, that OK Pay is only in question as well. The issue of Free State dairy farm. If you are honest with this country, Minister, the issue of Free State dairy farm, it's one that is used as a critique. So whereby the Guptas didn't even pay taxes about the money they accumulated from that dairy farm in Free State. And they took that money when they were there in India to come and use that money when they accumulated that money and use for their wedding. Surely there's a criminal case here. I thought you'll be coming before the committee minister to say you want to reopen this issue and you want to issue an investigation if you want us to trust you as a new minister. So coming here to say you inherited what Imalu has done, I don't think we have to accept that as a committee. Secondly, as you have started by saying this, there's an instruction from Parliament, from Frolic, who is the House Chair, about the same issues of Guptas. I thought everyone would take this matter very seriously to say there is a problem that needs to be investigated in committees. One issue is this thing of Guptas. There are so many issues that need to be tackled by this committee. As you remember very well, Chair, that last week, Honorable Figen was distributing some of the emails that emanating from the emails that are leaked that needs to be also investigated by this committee. But today you are not there. Minister, you are also mentioning that Citizenship Act that empowers, that made Malusi to take this decision. Minister, you must be very, 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 very clear on with us. After that section in Citizenship Act that empowers ministers to take decisions, the procedures were not followed. The department didn't table the report. Therefore, we can't just shy away from that fact. We didn't follow the proper procedures. And therefore, I don't know what is happening. Someone is supporting me. About that procedure that was not followed, Minister, I think, and it must be clear, we must not even mince our words to say that these people, therefore, they are here illegally. I thought that's where we are going to come in, to say the procedure was flawed, was not followed after that any naturalization was granted. But in terms of the procedures of the same act that you are telling us that Minister about empowering, it was not followed. Therefore, the early naturalization of Guptas is illegal in South Africa. And you are not even saying anything about those things, Minister. And I'm very, very disappointed in you. The letter that you are just reading to us, I'm sure that the chair will use that one as well. Because when the DG came in front of this committee to say the letter that was leaked by the EFF, there's something wrong, it is doctored. And you just read the very same letter, and you also repeating that you stand by that letter to say it's 2015. In fact, the chair also said last week there's a dispute around the letter. Okay, you are inheriting the minister's Gigaba's work. After we have leaked that letter in the media, the former minister has issued a statement. He didn't dispute the letter from EFF. He didn't say that letter that was leaked by EFF is doctored. So which means that what the DG said in front of the committee does not stand. But because we want this matter to be arrested, we said no, it's fine. If the DG is disputing the letter from the EFF, it does not matter. let us speak by the letter of the PG, knowing very well that there is an investigation or inquiry that is going to happen in the committee, because we need to get from the bottom of the thing what is happening. So therefore, that issue of the letter as the FF chair, we still want to get into the bottom of it. It's not just okay to say no, the DG is disputing the letter. They must be inquired about the letter, because we are saying the early naturalization of Gupta's was uncalled for. It needs to be investigated why they have given the early naturalization chance. So, Minister, I'm just going to come back if you have answered me on some of the things that I'm speaking. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. And I was just about to say that you are attempting to represent almost all the members. But at least you have left some. But honorable members, let's try and just ask questions. And ask questions directly so that questions can be responded to. Honorable Dabu.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to ask any question to the minister. I'm just going to refer to your chairperson. My opinion on this matter, because I'm looking at the documents that are before me now, the document from the Auditor General, there's no response here. It's a letter from the Auditor General that is requesting an information from the Department of Commerce.
Yeah.
And so far, there is no response from the department that is guiding us. And some of the questions that are being asked here, I think the questions that we raised in the meeting that we had, and it means we need to get the responses and then we verify or we compare with the reasons that we received from that. So my opinion, Chair, is that it is going to be unfair for us to put more questions to the minister. But I don't dispute that member can ask the questions in terms of what she has presented now. But I think we need enough time to deal with this matter, because there are new documents that have been signed on us, and in the previous meetings there were so many issues that we wanted explanation. And now we have got these managers that are in front of us. I don't think it's fair to deal with this matter. And there was an information, you remember, in our last meeting, there was an information that was an attempt from Honorable Ufitlen to circulate. And we said that information must not be circulated on that meeting. It must come to your office, and then it must be circulated to the members through your office, not just Matimboni Sailor or Kambi, so that the members can have a chance to look at that information. Because now, so my proposal, I'm not shutting down the other members, but after this, I will propose that at least let's leave this and set another date. We appreciate, Minister, your presence. We know that you are always here with us, logic, and we are very much appreciating that. And we know that you are responsible, you are very much accountable to this committee. So my suggestion, Chair, after we have received everything, I would suggest that let's put this and then arrange another meeting, because we cannot finish today. Thank you, Chair.
Well, then there's next is Honorable
explain that the new incoming minister take responsibility for everything that happened in the department before. Those were not the exact words, but the intention. I completely get that. But you equally make the point that when the government made the judgment call, and we understand that he made the judgment call, which is why only he can explain the reasons behind his judgment call. And I want to amplify the request again that in the future, in the near future, we'll have an opportunity to question Minister Dibaba on that judgment call that he made. And there are a number of questions that only he can answer in particular. For example, I'd like to know from the Minister Chair whether or not he's had any direct or indirect engagements with the Gupta family regarding the naturalization and the granting of citizenship before and during the actual application that was made. I'd like to know that. And he must be on record to say yes or no. But only he can answer that question.
Are you saying that you've got no questions for the
No,
minister?
No, I'm getting there. You just be patient with me. So I'm trying to justify the point again, why it would be unfair to put some of those questions to the minister, the new minister, because she is not going to be in a position to answer some of those questions. So let me ask perhaps maybe one or two questions that the current minister may or may not be able to answer, and we'll try from there. Chair, the first thing that comes to that's very clear to me is that if you look at this report that was brought to Parliament after it was discovered that the department and the former minister failed to report to Parliament, but we appreciate it's now been done. The citizenship applications or those waivers were granted in 2015, all of them, May 2015. And one of the requirements of granting that citizenship is that the department must satisfy itself that those applicants renounce their citizenship with the other country. And I know that the DG was at pains on the previous occasion to explain that that if they do that first, and if they are not granted, then they I understand that. So I get it that they couldn't renounce their application, their citizenship, before it was finally granted. But it was granted in May 2015. The only evidence that before us, Chair, is this letter from the Indian High Commission in 2017, suggesting that they have now renounced. What it tells me is that even after the department granted them their citizenship, you didn't follow up.
No, it's saying. Because when you add the word now, is that what is in there? That they have now renounced.
Well, I made
because
the point.
Because
you must just listen carefully.
Yes.
I said the only evidence that's
yes.
here, and that's why the minister must explain. Maybe
okay.
there is other evidence.
Okay.
So the only evidence we have to suggest that the department only secured some confirmation from the Indian embassy after this issue became public knowledge and there was all the trouble. I've got nothing to suggest, and you must respond to that, Minister. Once the citizenship was granted, did the department follow through to confirm you have handed in your passport? It seems to me this was only done now. Chair, the second point that I want to raise is this issue about the investment, and I understand the rationale for why you would grant a person citizenship based on the investment, but there are other means that you could do the same thing, in that you can bring in the investment and allow them permanent residency. The citizenship is not, you don't have to do that. There are other options that you can a longer-term visa and permits, for example, and still get the same value of the investment. But what I didn't find in any of the documents, and I've seen the letters from Hope, and I understand that the minister says that there is nothing in the regulations or documents to go and see whether or not they're involved in the fusion schemes and so on. But what evidence did the department ask for to confirm that 25 billion, as they claim, was actually invested? I mean, did any confirmation come from SARS or the Trade and Industry Department, or what is it that was put before the minister to actually make that decision? One of the applicants, chairperson, is Mr. K.K. Singhala. And his application was granted on the basis of a family unit. When you look at the age of that applicant, he is not a minor child. He was an adult at the time of the consideration of the application. The question I want to ask the minister is, why was his application not considered on its own merits? Because did he also make 25 billion rand? There's nothing to suggest that. So is it only because he was a member of the family that he was granted that citizenship? And why then did the provisions of the law didn't apply to him, considering that he was an adult person? The last question that I want to ask the minister is, and to you, Honourable Minister, I think you are very familiar with the whole issue around state capture and what the views are of South African citizens, the role that the Gupta family had played in securing favours from certain members of the government, and to use that influence to try and build a massive empire in the country. And I think that you would know, as a leader in our society, that there is increasing anger against what has been going on. There's no doubt about it that this is not a matter that involves a room full of people. There are millions of South Africans that are upset. The fact that a certain family had used their influence with senior politicians, including the president, and Mr. Gigaba himself has also been fingered in all of the stories that are going around, the influence of the Gupta family had brought on government to build their empire. There is a provision in the law that grants you the power to revoke the citizenship of people if it's in the interest of the country to do so. There is that provision in the law. And so the question I want to ask you is that, will you consider, given what has gone on with the Guptas, given that Parliament itself is one of the highest institutions in the country, is asking that their influence and their involvement in government must now be investigated, will you consider revoking the citizenship of that family on the basis that it's in the best interest of the country to do so? I'd like to hear the state of it. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Dr. Khan.
Thank you, Chair. I feel sorry for the minister. And I don't have any question to her. Because of, in fact, the person who's supposed to answer all these questions is Majesty Gaba. I wanted just to go straight and second meet a user to say, in fact, we need to stop discussing this matter. And I will propose the following. And for sure, I will be in line with what the chairperson started by saying when he opened this discussion. One, as a parliament, we've got powers, and our role is to do oversight. Number two, as a parliament, we've been empowered. We've got power, Chair, to establish inquiry. So I want this thing to go on as inquiry. It will need a full day. I propose that we will need a full day where, as a committee, we will be discussing the terms and reference and to check which people must be witnesses, like the issues of Northwest donation, the issues of 7,000 people, the issues of saying that their businesses is a family business. So we need to know that how they distribute it amongst themselves. So this thing, it must be taken in as an inquiry. I will wants us to follow exactly what how the House Chairperson flows, requested us to do. They've never said to us, discuss this matter. The instruction says investigate the matter. So, if you check, right now we are doing a wrong thing. It's very wrong, Chair. Whatever we are doing now is wrong and unlawful in light of the letter in front of you. What we're supposed to do is to investigate. And investigate, it says that to us, establish the inquiry. So I will want, I trust your office, Chair. I will want that if we meet, as we have agreed on Friday, we must come up with the terms of reference and start to establish the full inquiry. Then we will not request anyone to attend or invite. We will subpoena because of I can see that many people are dark and diving on this way. That is my submission. I don't want to go into nitty-gritties of this thing. There are many things that I've got many questions for you. For example, the letter of announcement. If you can look at this thing, anyone can tell you that this is the date. And the date it says that the 2017-07 print. And these people, they were naturalized a long time ago, 2015. And if you check the staff, that is not even appearing very well. That's why I'm saying it needs investigation, including the letter from AG. It doesn't tell us anything. It's what, we were saying. So we don't know even what is happening. That's why it needs investigation. So let us agree that we will establish inquiry on Friday. Or if we don't meet it on Friday, then the day that we will meet, we will be agreeing about inquiry. So that this matter must be open. That's why I'm saying that I'm worried about the minister. You can see that the minister was crawling in the den of lions. She doesn't know anything about this thing. And the minister, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you on this matter.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay. But I think that sometimes honorable members, it is just correct to remind ourselves what they are doing. Because honorable members asked the DG, have you verified that they have renounced their citizenship? And then we demanded the DG to actually verify that. And then now the DG verifies the petition today. And it is that this is what we requested the DG to do, to verify that whether they have handed over their passports and what have. And then now the letter in front of us, it says that those Gupta family members have renounced their citizenship immediately after acquiring South Africa.
It doesn't say immediately. I'm sorry.
No. Read the letter on the paragraph.
I've read it. It doesn't say immediately.
Just read the paragraph and make the correct interpretation. Yes. And that's why I was worried about your now, that you put it in, because it was changing the whole letter. But we'll talk among ourselves, because we're going to discuss and then get the report. So I was just I'm going ahead. But you see, as a chair, when there is a misrepresentation of your own requests and requirements, then we need to be reminded ourselves that we asked the DG to verify that. Because the DG at that time could not say whether they have handed over their passport or not after acquiring that naturalization. We asked him to do so. He has done so, then has forwarded the communication as requested. And then that's why I'm just asking us to
look at the document in relation to how we requested the document and then why we needed it. And then, because surely if he writes a letter to verify that today, the answer is not going to be in 2015. I mean, it's an obvious thing. Honorable, the next one is Honorable Rafuji.
Thank you very much, the Minister.
Order. The meeting of the media officer is not the one that I'm chairing.
Yeah, thank you very much, the Minister, for your presentation. And I still remember when the Director General was here, Mr. Hussein was not here. He brought his chief to come and present him. And I really don't know where some other issues where does he get them from. However, the Director General explicitly explained, you know, thoroughly what, you know, the process on how this family got their naturalization. And he even stated that there was an omission on his side whereby he didn't, because that was an administrative function of making the minister to come and sign for the family to be tabled in parliament. That is what the Director General has said. But for closing all this, Minister, thank you very much for taking your responsibility and your accountability. Despite all what is happening here today, we can see that we've got the letter of the Auditor General of South Africa dated 4 July 2017. I think let's await for the outcome of the Auditor General, because they have requested. I think all of us, we've got that letter. Can we read? And we should not make ourselves to become the Auditor General, because we are some sucking. They brought wrong letters. That was wrong here, wasted our time. I think really time is so precious, but we can see that there are people who don't really respect life. South Africans, there was a letter that was brought here which was not authentic, and we are still talking about that letter which was wrong
according to you.
Yeah. Because somebody,
I'm
not talking on anybody,
yeah,
but I'm just saying that let's wait for the people who went to school and who have passed their examination as auditors of South Africa. I thank you.
Thank you, it's Honorable Fiedler.
Chairperson, thank you very much, although my head was not up.
No, I heard you, even if you have not raised a hand, but that wasn't a speech.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, Chairperson. I'm sorry. If somebody's talking, I don't talk. And people, they must stop murmuring outside. Okay, and because they were saying that we are captured. They are the world captured people. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable members. You have said that the earlier here that you traumatized people last week. So it's up to you not to repeat that. Honorable Fiedler.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And good morning, Minister. And the officials. Chairperson, actually, my question goes around. I think in the media, I think in 2024, when this week came up, you say you were going to report the Ukraine. This is exactly what
But it's what you want to say authentic. Because it looks like the system is questioning.
So with that statement, when did you withdraw it? Or did you withdraw, or you did your own investigation and find out this thing was legally proceeded? The second question that I want to ask you is that there was an information that one of the Guptas had two IDs, and one ID has to be withdrawn from the Home Affairs. Now, doesn't that show that there is corruption involved? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kenny.
Thank you, Sir. The time that is 8:51. Now I'm worried about today when we got the Lazarus of last week, why we have to continue until 12 because today we've got the city. Now I'm out of time working at the contract and my dad who are also waiting for. I think there are two suggestions that said, and I think the suggestion was, the proposal was supported by that can't we serve this matter, especially that we are still having grey areas. And we say that also the former minister is not here now. Also to say that even on Friday, if we say Friday, I don't think we must have the specific date because we don't even know if when we can get the former minister. If we can get this case just to answer these questions now and then rest in this case until that we move forward to the provincial manager. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. And I'm sure you may have heard that I did not really have that much of an appetite of stopping this particular exercise because we did request it and the minister made herself available. And it is up to us to put the questions that we can put in. Those that you can't put in, then you'll put in when another opportunity arrives. But because it's available, let's put the questions that we can put to her. Let's hear what she says in relation to granting citizenship to non-citizens. So that's why I'm not having an appetite of stopping the meeting to engage the minister, because we fought last week, and I think we nearly even had to go to the dictionary to find the definition of agent, you see. So that's why now, when she made herself available, let's only ask those questions that you can ask. Keep them to yourself. You find an opportunity of asking the relevant people. Honorable Gumet.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think it is high time that we come out as ANC on the issue of the Gupta family. The ANC does not support the Gupta family. It does not support the crimes, the alleged crimes that the people are talking about. The president has accepted the position of the public protector that there should be a judicial commission on this matter head by a judge. That has been accepted by the president, and that has been accepted by the ANC. The ANC also supports a thorough investigation on the matter of naturalization of the Guptas or anybody else. And we are a bit surprised by the fact that this issue has been discussed in, now it is the fourth meeting discussing the same naturalization. On the 20th, on the 27th, on the 27th, we thought that we had concluded it except for two or three documents that were supposed to be produced whose authenticity was in question. The DA was represented by somebody else who accepted that the naturalization process was not
was correct. And then we together said that we were waiting for the authenticity of the two documents, and secondly, to hear about the official who did not submit the documents to Parliament, because what was outstanding was that a certain document from the Department of Home Affairs was supposed to be tabled at Parliament. We said that if it was found that that was negligence, we expected to get a report on consequences of that negligence. That is the position of the ANC. There's nothing to hide. We are not harboring any family. And if Gupta's are found by the Judicial Commission to have committed a crime, we won't stop them getting charged. We won't stop them getting arrested. If the Judicial Commission finds that they stole money and the judge says they go to retail, the ANC will support them. If the judge recommends any other thing, the ANC will support them. So please rest assured, the ANC does not support anyone that commits a crime. Once we know that a decision of guilt has been pronounced by due authority, we take the recommendations of the final arbiter, which is the judicial system of South Africa. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, I think we had an opportunity of asking questions. But at the end of the day, is that, just put your hand down, Honorable Kekan.
No.
I'm just pleading.
No.
Just put your hand down. No, just put your hand down. Just put your hand down. No, just put your hand down.
No.
The members, no, honorable member.
As a member of this committee,
no,
I
was
nice to supplement what I wanted to say.
No, honorable Kekan.
Can you give me a chance to talk?
No, honorable Kekan.
Can you give me a chance to talk?
No, honorable
because
Kekan.
Because we can't allow a situation whereby you come with something that
no, honorable Kekan. Honorable Kekan. Members, almost all
no,
of you.
No.
Almost all of you, except the Honorable Minister, we have given you the opportunity to actually raise the questions.
But
the
what is the problem to give me
then now,
because I want to raise one man.
We have got Honorable Kekana, let us not do this.
Order, Chair.
Let us not do this. No, Honorable Kekana. I'm chairing Honorable Kekan. Honorable Kekan, can you please just accept the fact that I'm the chair?
I accept
and
it.
Then Honorable Kekan.
I accepted from some ago.
Honorable Kekan.
Stop.
Honorable Kekan.
Stop.
Please.
Stop reminding us you are the chair.
No, please.
We are equal with you.
No, please.
The only thing is that you are leaving us.
No.
Please give me a chance
honorable,
to do what I want.
Honorable Kekan. All of you were given an opportunity to ask for questions.
You understand
correctly, and Honorable Kenny has actually raised the matter. Now it is the opportunity that the minister must respond to your questions.
I wanted to raise something.
Honorable Kekan. You were given an opportunity to ask questions to the minister.
I'm not here to allow anyone to dictate to me. I'm here to work
as chair here, I'm chairing the meeting and controlling the meeting to achieve its goals. Now, we have asked questions, we must give the minister the time to to answer. On the meeting of the 27th, the similar thing happened where Honorable Melder actually forced to actually have a second bite. And after that, then all members that were present said, you can't stop us because you allowed Honorable Melder to do that. And the meeting was extended and ended. Now, even now, you want to have a second bite. How do I stop all other members from following you to do the same thing? Do we didn't have that time to do that. Now, allow the minister to respond. Now is the time for the minister to respond. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members.
Order, Chair. Chairperson.
Honorable, I'll plead with yourself.
I'm
with your good
order.
Self. That is the honorable minister should respond to your questions that you have asked. Can we allow her to proceed?
No, I'm raising an order. A point of order is allowed in rules book.
What is your point of order?
A point of order is that, Chair, don't disturb members when they want to speak in this committee chamber. We are going to fight with you because Honorable Kekane is saying he's calling an order on what Umede is saying. But you just stop him as if he is a kid. He is not a kid.
No, Honorable
Chairman.
Honorable
Chairman. So you must give him a chance in this meeting.
Please, Honorable Chairman.
And Chair, we have also asked you before this meeting,
please,
even last week, to say, stop bullying us. We are not here as per your invitation. We are committee members here, and you are here because of the rules of parliament that we can talk in this committee. But you have to stand in front of us, and you want to control us. It's not going to work, Chair. I'm warning you. Please.
Honorable, yes, that's a further point of order.
No, it's not a point of order. I think we are members of the same caucus with Kegani, and I request that we have a 5 minute meeting efficiency, so that we have a chance for 5 minutes. I support.
Honorable members,
have requested 2 minutes. I just want to ask us to extend to about 5 minutes so that we can sit down and then see where we are having a misunderstanding.
Come back in 2019.
What? Chairperson, please with your indulgence.
But honorable members. The minister requested to be released at 10:50 to attend the Interpol cabinet committee meeting. And the response of the minister would not get into the issue that you are having the misunderstanding with the gun. Shouldn't we allow the minister to respond and finish? And then after the minister has done so, then you can have the break in between. Because he's actually disagreeing with what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has got nothing really to do with the response
yes.
of the minister.
Yes.
Can the minister be allowed
minister.
To respond?
Yes.
And then we release the minister.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
But this is unfair to us. We are not members of the ANC here, Chair. We can't be held ransom by the ANC members in this committee.
Are you saying that the venue should not have a break?
Uh-uh.
Is that what
you
are proposing?
So you must here? Not, Chair, you must not entertain ANC factions in this committee. I'm not ANC. I'm EFF member. Who is here
okay.
because I'm the member of this portfolio committee. If
thank
the
you.
Agenda now will be changed to address the factions of the ANC, we are not going to allow that here. So you must go and sort out yourself outside this meeting. This is not ANC.
I've heard both of you. I've heard both of you. For now, let's allow the minister to respond to your question. Anitma?
Yes.
Yeah, proceed,
yes.
Proceed, Minister.
Thank you. I will wait for honorable members because the first one is to respond. Thank you very much. The first point which was raised by honorable Shop and Kalipi concerns about the depth of understanding this issue. Chairperson, I would really like to assure honorable members that when we deal with this issue, we really have to stick to the rule of law. We are all, as members, capable of understanding the laws that we pass. If the, this committee has passed the Immigration Act, or even if it was before our time, and the immigration regulations, we have to look at it and say, did the minister adhere to what the act is saying? In this instance, these people, the family at issue here, they are foreign nationals who wanted to apply, but they, within the law, any foreign national who wish to come to the Republic must apply for a visa. It used to be called what? Temporary residence permit. They apply in the, while they are in their country. These may be visitors, study groups, medical, business, or you name it. So we are all able to understand the visa. It could be short term, 3 months or 5 years, and so on. Also business people, a multiple entry visa. So that's the law. We can't change it. First, we must look at the Immigration Act and see whether did they walk legally to this country. If from their country of origin they did apply, they got the permit to come here, then we must live with it. And we can't change it. And of course, in the process, while people are in the country, others decide that you know, it's inconvenient to keep on applying, and they move on to say, why don't I, now I'm at the stage where I can, I qualify to apply to naturalize. I'm even jumping permanent residence, because in this instance, already these members were permanent residents, so all what they wanted is to naturalize, which give them extra rights, like the right to vote, that I'm aware of. So whether you came through today or yesterday, that's the starting point of the law. And I think the investigation that is called for is really saying to us, look at the legislation and policy and see whether what the minister did fits in within that, or there were any illegal or out things that were done. Okay. So I volunteered to come and account, because I do believe we're all capable of interrogating our own guiding Immigration Act. So Honorable Trope is worried about maybe my experience, but I come a long way. And I do believe I understand very well that the legislation before us, it did empower the minister. But Honorable Trope goes on to talk about the state dairy farm, Obey, and other problems. I cannot justify what the minister did, as I've said. But remember, honorable members, even our mandate, we cannot go beyond what the minister was privy to at the time. There are new issues today, which are out in the media, that everybody's talking about this family. But when the minister was working on this, I'm convinced that at that time, he looked at the law, because these are new issues. The image issues and so on, these are new issues. And we wouldn't have dealt with them. And also, in our case, it would be very difficult, honorable members, even if the minister who was there then was here, or even it might be also not acceptable for him to talk about things that he's reading about. So I don't know how the committee can deal with all these things that have been flouted around. It will be a very difficult investigation. But when the point of procedures which were not followed. I think somehow we are all aware. I'm happy I wasn't here when the Director General was here. But there are things which I said, really, the administration must take responsibility to. Like issues of the non-verbal. Non-verbal traditionally is correspondence between two governments. And it's not the responsibility of the minister. It's the officials who must then trigger off communication with the other government to say, in terms of our own legislation, if your citizen apply for this, we have to make sure that they renounce yours, because that's our requirement. And then India might say, no, in terms of ours, if they want to be nationalized as South Africans, then they must renounce ours. And I mean, we don't agree. We don't allow that. And so the officials, they might have done it late. I don't know whether they've done it, the department, they've done it at the time when the investigation started, or it was the renewal of correspondence they had to double check. I will have to establish that. But certainly, there's a letter which I saw where first the department gives conditional. The minister will approve conditional, meaning there's a process which must be completed by the department. Even the letter that you get, that you have been, your application has been approved, but then this is the condition. Then the process starts to communicate with their country of origin, and that will be the final position. And so, as part of the investigation, it's important to look at all those things. Honorable Danduza made reference to this. I think this, I don't know anything about it. I only saw it today. But I suppose as part of investigation, there will be different aspects that will be looked at. Natural. That's why even the court, they sit for many days on a matter. Because as new issues emerge, then you have to pay particular attention to them. Otherwise, you are superficial about it. So I assume this is part of the process of looking at different aspects of the problem, which I think is fair enough. On our side, we have to work very closely with the Director General to ensure that whatever relevant documents that will help the committee to complete this understanding will have to be found and presented here. Honorable reason, yeah, it's clear that the committee is aspiring to have a face-to-face with Minister Kikar. From what you're saying and what has been said. This thing of the culture family is a very difficult one. When I meet people, you know, the difficulties when you haven't met people, you don't know them, and everybody expects you to know them, and to have sat down with them, to have been to sex and well. Just saying, I wonder how many people have met with them. How many people have said, across all of us, maybe, you know, how do you know? Maybe all that
he will introduce you,
I'm yeah, you see, so there's a difficulty with some of these investigations. We all want to account as honest as we can. I mean, if a person were to ask me, I would say, I've never met them. I've never had communication with them. And so... But I do believe any one of us who have met with them will be fair in the circumstances to be able to say, I met with them, these were circumstances. Remember, in our work as public representatives, we meet with all sorts of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, in my office, if they stop me, I always say, I'm a public representative. Mm-hmm. I have to meet people. I come from a culture where it's said, you must engage people. When they want to talk to you, talk to them. Mm. So I'm sure people can account and give you the reasons why they met people and what was it. And it will fit in with our conduct as public representatives. Honorable, you said, what was the specification? What was, why only in 2017? We have to look carefully at this. Even myself, I need to do that because initially when I saw the letter, my reading was that this was a confirmation. When the investigation starts, the Director General might have said, let me check. You know, let's check the matter, whether they actually, the process was followed through administratively. So we have to establish, this is one of the things that I've noted. An Honorable Hussein is saying permanent residence is another option. It's true. In terms of the Act, some people, they will apply for permanent residence, which sometimes we review and say, why do we have to have that? Why don't we have just long-term visa so that a person can stay as long? There are many options, but in this instance, the applicant chose, they wanted to be citizens. They applied for citizenship. And the Act allows it. You see? But there was that option, I agree with you, of permanent residence. But they chose, they wanted to be citizens of South Africa. Yeah, the evidence with regard to investment, I said earlier on, the Act doesn't stipulate, I suppose the law cannot say everything. The Act doesn't stipulate per se that if a person says I'm a business person, you should go and investigate. But we talk about a certain proof of 5 million investment, of up to 5 million. So in this instance, I think somebody else could say to the department, go and prove this. But I don't think it's the requirement in terms of the Act. We'll have to continue looking at it because you have raised it and issues of investment and so on. The question of, you know, the thing on families, to say KK was an adult, why didn't he apply on his own and not to apply it? The Act does allow applicants to come as a group, as a family. What, within my stay in this department, I've realized that even if you can try to separate family members, in no time, others will be applying to be integrated, family integration. And all countries, they have to deal with that. Of course, most advanced countries who don't have the challenges we have, they actually say you can't separate families. You know, that would be against everything that government stands for. So I don't think the issue here was a major one from a legal point of view that they applied in this fashion, but it still, you need to look at relevant clauses. It does. It is allowed. You raise, also honorable member Chairperson raised the state capture. That is that's increasing anger on a daily basis. That senior officials have been captured. Yeah, it's a very difficult one because I suppose the investigation will ask that. Because as public representatives, we can't do it the Hollywood style. We really need to be guided by facts, whereby people are held accountable based on evidence. If somebody says to me, you are captured, it's a very difficult thing for anyone to deal with. I suppose these inquiries like this one at this level, including the work which will be taken over by headed by the judge. It will really help, because besides that, we'll end up pointing fingers at each other, and it doesn't help in helping the public to understand the problem. So I read about it, I hear about it in meetings, even within my own party. People are concerned, they talk about it. Recently there was a policy conference, people talk about it all the time. And they say, investigate, investigate. Mm-hmm. Hence the letter came to instruct all of us to cooperate, to give whatever information we have. So we hope it will be clarified as soon as possible. Revoking the citizenship of a person. I would say, honorable members, Chairperson, we need to allow Parliament to investigate. And then once the Parliament has got a report, there will be clear recommendations and guidance for all of us of how to deal with different aspects that we were mandated to look at. I don't think any one of us can preempt the investigation. Mm-hmm. That will be illegal and it will be inappropriate for any public representative. Honorable Gagan, you are sympathetic to me, not the chair. I appreciate that. I feel protected. You seem to, we all have, these views that we wish everything could be on the table so that we can continue with our work or the issues, like we have provincial managers and we have big issues. Our Home Affairs offices on Saturdays are not open. Half the time, connectivity is a problem. People are complaining. I'm just dying for us to be over with this and to focus on those issues. Mm-hmm. Honorable Pegan, Northwest donations, family. Yeah, you see, I think some work needs to be done to establish the directorship and so on. And things are moving fast. Again, we can divert to what we've read about. Now we'll be talking to what we are reading about, that there has been a dilution of shares. There are new directors. And those are new facts, which were not there yesterday when the decision was taken. So I don't know how far will the investigation go. Honorable Kekana said the instruction says investigate. In other words, we mustn't be superficial. But I do believe there's a starting point, a foundation, even in a court of law. Judges will call all sorts of witnesses, even those who were afar, who read up, whatever you see, at the end, it has to put a picture together. There's no piece of information which is a waste in an investigation. It can trigger off 101 questions, but it helps towards an understanding that is authentic. There's an issue about when was the Commission of India approached in 2017 or at the time. We have to clarify that. Honorable Rakuji, Chairperson, I'm happy to hear about the DG's explanation and apology for whatever was an omission. I also, when I asked officials, unofficially, one of them said, but this has not been a tradition from honorable members from the times of ministers of Sazane, Dhamini Zuma, and Lady Pando. There were no reports that were tabled to Parliament, but the Act required to do that after the opening of Parliament, I think. We have to do that annually. So the Department is working on its systems and corrections on that. um, Yeah, I'm not aware, i.e. that Chairperson Honorable Fickland is talking about what was said in News 24 that should they had acquired the status fraudulently, then I will withdraw it. I'm really surprised. I've been very cautious about jumping the investigation process because that would be wrong. If people say, if this person killed, would you arrest, would you give this person lifetime imprisonment? I would find it difficult to go that way. Because by the time you do that, people will say you are no longer objective, you are prejudiced. I wouldn't like to do that. And I would do that. I want to cooperate, I want to assist, I want to allow and encourage the department and monitor that they don't waste the committee's time. The question of two IDs, I'm not aware of it, but I will double check all those things and I will ask the DG chairperson, I can assure you, not to spend, maybe to call all the people concerned, spend a day and bring to everything they have. So that I can see, Honorable Kenny, that everybody is aspiring that we give more time to the matter. Yeah, Honorable Gumede, I think you were assuring us that it's important, it has to be looked at. And on my side, I really want to reiterate the commitment for myself and the department in particular to assist as much as they can, not in a superficial way. I will go back, I will speak to them. I have my advisors, I have the advocate Ramasia here and Dr. Siswana, who must assist me and make sure that from each and every division in the department, they give us whatever information they have. And we need to do everything.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, I think the minister has responded. There are things that she has promised that she will make sure that the department gets out over and above what we have requested the department to send and what is outstanding by now. And should the need arise, the minister will be communicated to avail herself if there's a need in moving forward. But I think she has done what she can do for now, as she has asked. Can we then relieve and also grant a leave of absence as she promised, as she asked, to go and a lot more in?
Yeah,
but thank you very much. And you are listening.
Yeah.
Honorable Rappi.
Yeah, I was just saying that before Minister leaves. Minister, we are having two women who are acting, and I think they've been acting for years as managers in their respective provinces. Can we really request you, Minister, to ensure this, women who are acting, they should no longer be acting. I don't understand that they can be still acting as provincial manager for so long. What is the problem? So, over to you, Minister. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and I think we need to really give a little bit of time for the provincial managers, and we'll discuss that during the discussions with the provincial managers. But thank you very much, Arvi. Honorable members, I think that there were two views about the small print, and what I've heard is that there are those that wanted a small break for the ASP, and those that say the ASP must find time to sort its own business. And then, in the consideration of time, I think you should be able to proceed with the provincial manager, because that dispute does not affect the reports going to get from the provincial manager. Proceed with the provincial manager and finish with them. And again, honorable members, Honorable Frolic has invited me for a a meeting at 12. Then I want to ask Honorable Kumeto to stand in for me so that then I go and hear what Honorable Frolic is saying urgently. Yes, when I'm finished, I'll come back directly. Thank you very much. And then the next, I think the province that must give us now is Northwest. Is that Mandate? Mandate rate. Then can you proceed? Whatever it is, just preambles and the rest, you can, in the interest of time, just try and. Yes, and then and get into the real matters of the APP, how you talk to them and the finance, which is the budget, and where you are questioned. Proceed.